I'd like to call the February 15th Board of Directors meeting to order. Mr. Gillespie.
I am here.
You are here. I'm here. Mr. Norden?
Here.
Kate Reed is not here. Ms. Reed? Mr. Necker?
I am here.
Mr. Yeh?
Here.
And Ms. Pierce is not here yet. Okay, great. Well, happy belated Valentine's Day. I hope you guys all did your right thing, and I hope you ladies did the right things. I think that worked out good. It was a great work session that we just got out of, so those that weren't able to attend, it was very informative. Any comments from the general manager? You always have comments.
I do have comments. A couple of things. First, I just want to note, you guys, the board members that were here during the work session may have noticed that Camille Straub, am I pronouncing that, is sitting in as our temporary clerk of the board now that Jeannie's retired and probably enjoying a very nice evening at home. Camille's here working and handling the packet, so we called her in very last minute, and she was able to put a packet together for us, so we're really glad to have her here today. Thank you, welcome. And second, I do want to see if Mark or somebody from David Collier, I think you are on the committee for our Employee of the Year. Just wanted to see if you wanted to make any announcement about that for the board members that did not attend.
Sure. At the banquet on
January
29th, we elected Karen Burns, who's one of our operators, to be the Employee of the Year. Karen has been with the district for at least 8 years. I don't have anything in front of me right now. She's also been on our events committee, been very active in planning. Actually, I would say probably donates a lot of her own time when planning those events. For any of you that have been at those events, she's the one over the last 8 years that has done the flowers and all of that, the centerpieces and everything. So it was a great honor. She was quite pleased and surprised. So it was a great event.
Thank you, David.
Okay. All right. Any announcements or additions to the agenda? Seeing none, we'll move ahead. Board calendars.
Our board calendar is starting to look a little busy here. Just want to point out to the board, let's see, what's of importance that I want to make sure you really know about is, let me move to March. Just want to point out that as part of our West Eugene redesign, the service in that area, that our board meeting on the 15th will be held at Churchill High School at 5:30. And that's an attempt, since a lot of the service redesign for our fall will be in that community. We felt that that was an important place for us to go instead of having people come to us here or to the downtown area. We thought that would be a lot more convenient, and our public affairs department's doing outreach to make sure that people who wanna comment have an opportunity to comment. But based on the availability of the facility there, we will not be able to hold a work session before the meeting. It will be a public hearing, but I believe that's part of our regular board meeting as well. Let me just confirm. Yes? It's our, I think it doesn't show up here, but it's our public hearing and our, during our board meeting.
Oh.
But yes.
Yes.
It just cut off there. So what we did is I just put a placeholder. We don't have anything to put on it, but March 13th on the Monday, we have for a work session. Should there be something of urgency the board would like to see in the month of March, we can hold that and hold a work session. If not, then we would move our work session. Want to mention that. Then you will also see that the budget committee meeting is on the 14th. We have a tentative HR committee on the 20th. Our regular ATC is on the 21st, and then our regular pension is on the 22nd. So March is a fairly busy month. I never like to get too far in the agenda. We'd like to give you the calendars, but I want to make sure to note that in April, on the 19th, we'll have a public hearing there again, and that is for our budget. Is that correct, Christina?
Yes,
is that
service?
For our budget, or is that our
the April one? Yeah,
the April one is for our financials. The one in March is the one for the service, and that is in downtown. Do you have any questions on that? Just wanted to note that, and I won't get into the month of April. We'll cover that in March, but you definitely have the calendars for your convenience. And if you don't have any questions, that concludes.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Okay. A very special part of the meeting is the employee of the month.
Yes.
And I understand.
Just a
go ahead.
Is there any kind of tentative meeting for Main Street McVeigh Governance Committee, or is that just to be determined?
Yeah, you might be able to. She's got 2 days, I think, set aside, but you don't know the timing of it.
They're looking at the 3rd and the 10th of April, but the date has not been set just yet. I think this, on the city side and my side, we're still waiting for responses from people.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, she's got there's a lot of people to get lined up on that. Now, the employee of the month. Yes, Jeff.
Hello, everyone. I don't know if you remember me from last month, but my name is Jeff Head. I'm a field supervisor here at LCD. And I'm pleased to present Adam De La Torre, the award of the March Employee of the Month for his work he did during the ice storm. And I seriously have 3 pages of compliments here, and rather than read them to you, but I could, anyone want to? I'll hit the highlights. The thing that stood out the most from the first compliment he got is the person was so impressed with how safe he was being and how courteous and how kind he was being to the customers during really super hazardous road conditions. And I really appreciate that from Adam. It's kind of funny because the person who wrote in the 2-page compliment for him actually got on the wrong bus. So they found themselves at Eugene Station and kind of stranded. Adam had a split and he knew he was going back to Glenwood, so he volunteered to take the person back to Springfield where they needed to go right before Springfield. So I really appreciate that. And one of the other compliments was Adam took the time to make sure that our out-of-town customers were able to catch their transfers by calling ahead and making a hold on some of those buses, just to make sure that they got where they're going and didn't have to spend a couple hours with us down at the Eugene Station. So I know Adam is one of those kind of drivers who will volunteer. During a split, I hear him all the time asking if we need help. When we do need help, I know he stays late and helps us out. So I'd like to present Adam De La Torre.
We've got something for you to wear. And we have something here. It's a nice letter sign. Number of people, important people.
They're pretty important.
They are.
this comes with a picture frame. But you may have noticed that they just slid in here a few seconds ago. So we owe you a picture frame. So I can give this to you, but it's something to hang on the wall. And I can give this to you with the understanding, or I can keep it. And
you can hold Gary responsible for that frame.
I think you should keep it.
Okay, I'll keep it. We'll get the frame, and then there's a little something that might help out a little bit.
Thank you.
Probably doesn't want you to keep that.
No, he doesn't want me to keep that. But actually, you know, I got to ride the bus during those times, and that's a zoo out there. I mean, you think you've got that Arctic in a line, except the tail end's over here on the curb. You know, minor detail. And I got to admit that I had a chance to
to ride around in the slick weather. And we have an incredible group of people behind the wheels. And this is a great example of somebody that has done a heck of a job today. Great representative of LTD.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. If you want to say something, go ahead.
No, just thank you very much. I really felt like I did everything any one of our drivers would have done. I just got honored by somebody calling in. Yeah. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, see y'all next month.
Yeah. Yeah, it's getting to be a regular Jeff song again. Okay. This is a time for a public participation. We set aside something at the start of the meeting so that anybody that wants to speak to the board is certainly entitled to. Yes, we do have somebody today. We'd like you to give your name and address, and we'll give you 3 minutes, if you will. And if you'd come up here to the front, turn on the mic, if that'd be possible. Okay. And Paul Benock.
Blaylock.
Okay.
Good evening. One problem that I've noticed in the Whitaker area is on Sunday there's a gap between 8 and 11 where there's not time to help out the 40 with the white line problem that the inbound 40 has. And one full run is to have the 52 start at 8:30 in the morning, 9:30, 10:30, and so on, and to wait until 11:30 for the first inbound 52. On Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would help out with the white line problem that the 40 have been having for over 5 years or more.
Okay. Thank you very much, Paul, for taking the time to come visit us. Thank you. Is there anybody else in the audience that would like to say something? Mic's open. Okay. Being that, we'll move on to the next item. Okay. The consent calendar.
That's the 52 he's talking about. Sunday schedule.
Any comments or questions on the consent calendar?
None for me. I'd like to move that the board adopt the following resolution, LTD resolution number 2017-02-15-003. It is hereby resolved that the consent calendar for February 15th, 2017 is approved as presented.
Are there any? Second?
Did you say dash 18 or dash 15?
Three. The last three digits.
003.
Yeah.
I'll have to.
Okay. Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, signify by saying nay. Passes unanimously. Okay. Next item. Cosette. Okay, we're going to talk about enhanced mobility of seniors and disabled.
Well, good evening.
Good evening.
So again, I'm Cosette. I'm the Accessible and Customer Services Manager. And before I get started, I want to introduce some of my team. John Allen is our Accessible Services Specialist. And actually, he's fairly new. He started at LTD in October, and this project began in November. So, and he oversaw this project. So he hit the ground running, initiation by fire. And then I also want to introduce Chris Lyon, who's our Human Service Transportation Coordinator. She's with the Accessible Services Department. And I also want to introduce Paul Blaylock, who is part of our STF Advisory Committee. So he's part of our Accessible Transportation Committee. He also served on our subcommittee that vetted all of the applications for these funds. And also Ed Necker, who also sits on the Accessible Transportation Committee. So I think we can be pretty short tonight because I think we got a pretty good foundation for the programs that are served under this, but I'm just gonna do a quick review and then we'll get into the recommendation for allocation for these funds. So what we're talking about tonight is the state 5310. These are 5310 funds that are designated to the state from the federal government, and then through a formula, the state designates that to agencies within the state, and also special transportation fund program. The grants are awarded every biennium, so what we're looking at right now is grant allocation for the biennium of 17-18 and 18-19. It is a very prescribed process encouraging collaboration. So again, it utilizes our STF committee, which our board has designated as our Accessible Transportation Committee, to actually kind of oversee the process and go through the vetting system. They're an advisory committee to the board, so they created a recommendation of how to allocate these funds. Both of these programs are geared to serve the transportation needs of individuals who are elderly and people with disabilities. And also just no pressure for us, but we're on a very tight timeline as we have to apply for these on Friday. So no pressure.
No pressure, right.
Move to table.
No.
There goes my nights for the rest. So again, the State 5310 Enhanced Mobility of Seniors and Individuals with Disabilities Program. These are federal funds that are allocated to the state of Oregon. So it comes to us as a formula distribution. The discretionary part of it is how we allocate it out. So these are called discretionary funds, but they really are only discretionary from our perspective out. They come to us as a formula distribution. Special transportation fund agencies are eligible to apply, which LTD is. And eligible activities include vehicle purchase and preventive maintenance, passenger improvements, contracted services, travel training, and mobility management. These funds do not carry you forward, so we prioritize these funds to be spent first, and the general match rate for these funds is 10.27. And one of the reasons that we have this process at the same time as our STF Special Transportation Fund program is because in a lot of cases we use Special Transportation Funds to match our 5310 funds. And so the Oregon Special Transportation Funds, these are generated through cigarette tax, ID cards that you get at the Department of Motor Vehicles, non-auto gas tax, and state general fund. Again, this is a formula distribution that's distributed to LTD and other agencies throughout the state, but we have discretion on how those funds are allocated within our area. And these are very flexible funds, so these funds don't have a lot of restrictions on how they can be used. They also carry forward. So these are not funds that we spend first. Again, we prioritize the 5310 funds to spend first. We really use the special transportation funds to leverage those funds that come from the feds, either through the state or directly from the federal government. And there's no match required, so these are really nice bits of money. So as I mentioned, it's a very prescribed process. We have a timeline that we followed. It's also, not only is it prescribed, but it's a very condensed timeline. So we don't have a lot of time to have what is really a pretty robust conversation with our community about projects. So the state published the project in November. On December 1st, we advertised the grant notice in the Register Guard. And we held a grant workshop on December 5th. And what we did was we invited people who were interested in applying for funds to come to that workshop and learn more about the funds and the process. And then we started with our discretionary grant subcommittee. So the Accessible Transportation Committee identified a subcommittee because, again, the timeline is so condensed. They picked a subcommittee to vet the applications, because to get the whole ATC together is pretty hard to do on short notice. We had all the project applications were due on December 23rd. We went through a process to vet the applications, and we had an opportunity for everyone who applied for funds to come and address that subcommittee, and it also gave an opportunity for the subcommittee members to ask questions, and that was very important. I think we learned a lot from having that process, and it gave us a good opportunity to better understand the programs and the projects that were being applied for. On February 8th, the Discretionary Grant Subcommittee brought their recommendation to the Accessible Transportation Committee, and they held a public hearing. There were no comments as part of that public hearing except thanks for letting us apply for funds. So not a lot of comments there. And then the Accessible Transportation Committee developed recommendations, which are what we're going to review tonight. And tonight is February 15th. This is your board meeting. And as you see, on February 17th, we have to apply for funds. So again, no pressure. Oh, that was quick.
So you simply want a yes or a no, right?
Thumbs up, thumbs down. Actually, I do want to go through this because the process is, like I said, it was pretty robust. We had a decrease in available funds this year. So where in the last couple of bienniums, we've been able to increase programs a little bit. This biennium, we decided not to increase programs. And in fact, we are guided by our coordination plan, which our coordination plan outlines our priorities for funding, which our priorities are maintain existing programs, expand existing programs, and then expand into new programs. So we pretty tightly followed that. Did you have a question?
I just started clarifying, if my math is right, basically two-thirds of our request went to special mobility services for the ride share and shopper.
So I'm going to walk through this real quick. So so there's a lot of information on this spreadsheet, and it's all really important information, and I'm just going to go through pieces of it fairly quickly. The part that we're going to really focus on is that kind of orange or peach-colored columns that say 5310 STF funding allocation, because that is the recommendation from our STF committee. But just to step through real quick, where it says agency, that's the agency who is currently contracted or currently providing that project. Mm-hmm. So it just gives us a little bit of context around how that's being provided. The project really talks about what's being provided. And again, we went through every single one of these at our last meeting to get some understanding of what projects are out there. The only exception to what we went through last time is we had a new project submit an application, and that was Willamma Lane. And they submitted an application for a vehicle replacement, and they also asked for some operations money. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. So in the green columns, what you see is the grant request is the first column. So that's how much they requested. And you can see we requested, or Special Mobility Services requested quite a bit for RideSource ADA and Shopper. So these are kind of the dream, what we would dream to have. The second column is the non-LTD match that was brought to the table. So, for instance, you can see that Senior Disability Service brought some non-LTD match that was primarily in Older Adults...
Older Americans Act.
Thank you. I always get that wrong. Older Americans Act, and then fares and contributions, donations. Pearl Buck, for example, they generously matched their program. We had a bit of a conversation about that. Down where it says LCOG Senior and Disability Services, Mobility Management, Transportation Assessments.
That South foreign, Lane Rails.
Yes. Yes, they do. They do. But down, I'm sorry, and I'll come back up to that, but down with the LCOG Senior and Disability Services under Transportation Assessments, that's primarily Medicaid money, because some of the assessments are for Medicaid and some of the assessments are for ADA. So we represented the whole program here. But the match that's eligible is money that comes to the table for Medicaid. And you're right, there was $25,000 that was brought for South Lane Wheels. Part of that was money from the city of Cottage Grove, and the rest of that was fares, I think. So then we have the full project cost, which is the third column in that green section. And you can see it comes up to quite a bit of money, $8,294,000. We only have $3,784,000 basically to allocate, so that left a negative amount of $4,509,000. So going over to the blue column, this is where we had our discussion as a committee. Again, our priorities were to maintain existing service, expand existing service, and then fund new service. And I'm just going to go down the list to the ones that have changes. The committee talked about volunteer escort. This is for mileage reimbursement. And what we talked about was holding that to its current level, the same level that it received in the last biennium. And part of the reason for that is that we also have a volunteer coordination program that we think can add some assistance for that volunteer escort program. It's a very valuable program. As you can see, if you go all the way over to the right, their average cost per ride is only $8. But again, we wanted to maintain existing service. And again, where we have our funding decreasing, we don't want to start increasing programs in a way that requires us to in some way sustain it into the future. So White Bird Clinic, they provide the mental health transportation that we talked about last month. Again, we were holding them to their last biennium amount that was allocated. We also believe that there are some opportunities. We've had conversations with them. We believe that there are some opportunities for them to run some of the trips that they're now using this funding for through the call center for Medicaid services. So those trips then could be paid through our contract with Trillium and Centene for Medicaid. So we think that we can help alleviate some of the need that they have here by redirecting those trips through the call center. So we are working with them on identifying the process to do that. And then again, going down to Willamette Lane, I'm going to talk about that a little bit. This says it's a vehicle replacement. It's a vehicle that they currently have that they're asking for us to purchase a vehicle. We already have a vehicle that we lease to Willamette Lane, and this is a win-win-win situation. So the vehicle that we purchased and we leased to them, they use to operate shuttle service between the Springfield Station and the Willamette Lane Senior Center on Fridays. When we discontinued our service that went right by the Willamette Lane Senior Center, it created a gap for some people to get to the Senior Center, and they didn't have a shuttle service that already ran on Friday, so this vehicle can help offset that, as well as they use it for generally going out and picking up people. Most of their folks would qualify for RideSource ADA, so again, it's an opportunity for us to benefit by not sending out the expensive $30 a trip service, as well as we contract with them currently to do some of our ADA service. So they do trips that otherwise would be done on ADA. So people who are already eligible for ADA service, and they go out and do some of that service for us. So it really is a win-win-win. Mm-hmm. It also is a good thing for our customers and for their the folks who are coming there, because they have a relationship with them, and it's predictable, and they take care of a lot of the scheduling, and it's just a much appreciated situation. So this would be adding a second vehicle. And again, we would benefit from them having the second vehicle because it would add capacity. They also did ask for funding for operations, but this committee decided...
This vehicle is a 16-passenger van, right?
The vehicle that they requested is not 16-passenger. I think it's about maybe a 10-passenger van.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Again, they were asking for operation funding, but because our funding seems to be going down, we didn't want to create expectations in the future that we would be able to sustain that operations. And because, at least from our perspective, that's an add. So we decided to not budget that. We did have a conversation with them, and they have other means of paying for that, so it will be covered.
Okay.
Yes?
Which also mentioned the win-win with Willamette Lane. When they do a trip, an ADA transit trip, we're paying them a $6.50 fee for those trips versus doing a $30 trip on RideSource.
Yeah.
So it very much is a win-win for us.
Mm-hmm.
So less than fourth of the cost.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Pretty impressive.
It's a good thing for us. So moving over to the Peach, again, this is where the recommendations are from your STF advisory committee of the levels of funding. And I'm not going to go through them each individually, but the first column is the 5310 funds, and the second column is the STF funds. And again, we're leveraging our STF funds to spend out our 5310 allocation that we've received. I'm not going to go through these one by one if you'd like to, if you have any questions on those. I know one question that came up, I think, at the ATC meeting was that some of these utilize 5310 funds, and some of these only utilize STF funds. Mm-hmm. And for instance, South Lane Wheels, they're actually using this to match STF funds that they're getting through a different program. So these funds have to all be through STF because you can't use federal funds to match federal funds. So we've really kind of analyzed the color of the money and made sure, again, that we're going to be spending out our 5310 first. But this is how we've budgeted. Again, these are for 2 years. This is for a two-year allocation.
Any additional comments, questions?
I have a question and I didn't ask at the ATC meeting. In the blue column, what do the minus numbers represent?
So the minus number is the difference between what the grant money that they requested and the grant recommendation of that committee.
Okay.
So we reduced the amount of allocation from their original request.
So the first column is what they asked for, second one is what they got, third is the difference.
Yes.
So if you have any questions, we're happy to answer questions.
Any questions? So if you add these two together in the salmon color, that amounts to $3,784,356, correct?
Is that right?
I mean,
he did the math.
I didn't do the math. I'm just assuming that the amount that we're talking about is the $3,784,356, correct?
Correct.
All right. Thank you. And so that's where we come up with the general fund. We've got a budget item there that we backfill from the general fund, but we've already passed that budget, so. Okay. I'm looking for a motion. I know that's what Cassette's looking for.
I'd like to move the following resolution. Resolution number 2017-02-15-004. Be it resolved that the Lane Transit District Board of Directors authorizes the general manager or their designee to apply for funds and use those funds as recommended by the Special Transportation Fund Advisory Committee for the fiscal year 18 and fiscal year 19 biennium.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. I think it's important to note that these are not possible funds. These are funds that we are aware of are available.
Correct.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a real thing.
And to that point, we've actually been advised to apply for 110% because there may be some mid-biennium funding available. Mm-hmm. So we'll be submitting for 110%, and the extra 10% would likely just go to the right. ADA.
Okay. I just want to be sure everybody understands. This is not speculation.
10%, if granted. Would it go to programs or to carryover?
We would apply for it to go to the ADA paratransit service because that's an unfunded mandate. It doesn't set any other programs up with expectations that they may or may not get those funds. So they're going to be planning according to what they see on the paper.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks
for the clarification.
Thank you.
Any other comments, questions? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Passes unanimously.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Nice
I do
job.
Want to thank Thanks, our committee that. Members, too, so thank you.
Okay. Next item is the HR committee, recommendation of general manager. I'm going to turn that over to you, Gary.
Thank you. As you can see in the notes here, January 18th, the Human Resources Committee met. Committee members drafted the 2017 goals for the general manager. The committee developed 7 goals in collaboration with the general manager as follows. And if you have any questions about any of those goals, or if there's anything any board member thought should be added, and AJ, if you had any comments at all.
Well, I know that we tried very hard to cover everything in seven bullets. So if you look at those, there's a lot of work in all those areas relative to costs, watching costs, efficiencies, that type of thing.
In finding new revenue.
Yeah, always. Yeah, absolutely.
And but I think it's important that the short range and the long range plans tie into each other. Yep. So the short range we're looking over 3 years, the long range over 10 years.
Right.
Now I noticed that of these seven goals, six of them are continue, and number six is develop processes for improving the agency's cost effectiveness. Is there a program for that? Is there a...
Did you want to talk about that, AJ, or I could say something?
You
could
say it.
The way I read this was, you may recall several meetings ago, we talked about establishing criteria and approvals for processes and budget items and things like that. And my understanding is that this ties into that. If you wanted to say anything additionally.
Yes, and then in discussion with different board members, I know I've received informally some requests for looking at how we, our peer agencies through the ABBG group measure us, and that typically we do very well. We're amongst, you know, the best performers amongst our peers that we're measured continuously against. And the only one we continuously are out of alignment is our cost per hour as compared to those other factors. So some of the informal discussions, or conversations in which is reflected here is that I look at improving those cost effectiveness and what are those areas that make us more or less cost effective. So I think I understand what that is, and I'm able to, through the budget development process and through the management with the team, to look at ways that we can make decisions that make us more financially sustainable.
So you are aware of a process to address this?
Yes, goal. We are, yes.
Yeah. Okay, our discussion that answers my question.
Don.
Is this substantially different from the transit stat program we already have in place?
It's not substantially different. I think that's an integral part of it, of measuring it, how we measure. I think the only difference here is that this is a way that the board actually measures the progress that's done, that I bring back processes that that lead us in that direction. So.
And, Dwight, I don't know if you wanted to add anything or not, or no. Okay. Any other questions?
Questions or comments? Yeah.
Yeah.
Hearing none.
Okay.
I move the following resolution. Resolution number 2017-02-15-005. Be it resolved that the Lane Transit District Board of Directors approves the 2017 goals set forth for the general manager.
It's been moved and seconded. Any other additional comments, questions?
One, yes, point Gary. To bring up. You're probably already aware of this, but we'd already moved for a very positive review of AJ's work and increase in salary at prior events.
Yeah, it was part of her original package when we hired her.
Yeah.
And so that's been instituted. Absolutely. Thank you, Gary, for clarifying that. Okay. Okay, so we have it's been moved and seconded to approve the guidelines for the GM. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay? Passes unanimously. Thank you. Okay, the next topic. Edward, legislative agenda.
All right, there are two things that we're going to want to do with this discussion. The first is to adopt the legislative agenda for the package of bills that were reviewed during the board work session earlier this afternoon. And then the second thing that we're going to want to do is talk about how we address legislation moving forward in between board meetings. So we're going to split those two discussions. There's two separate resolutions in your packet. There is an addendum sheet that identifies them as two separate resolutions as well. So, but we'll cross that bridge when we get there. So the first...
And it was brought to my attention that the resolution numbers on the distributed sheet are the correct ones.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
And we will, staff will be reminding you of that when it comes time to make a motion as well. So the first thing that I would like to do... So at the work session, we presented a series of bills as well as staff recommendations. The resolution that you have before you would be that the board adopts those staff recommendations and block. However, it does ask the board to determine how they want to stand on the LC 1934. That is the legislation changing the governance structure of LTD. Staff did not make a recommendation on that proposal. The options provided in the resolution are worded as support, oppose, or remain neutral. That said, if the board would like to find a level of gray that is somewhere between those three pillars, that involves be engaged in the conversation and provide some potential wording or share concerns that have been expressed by the community, those sorts of things, it would be helpful if the board could express that. And then what I would recommend is the neutrality as the stance, with the understanding that staff is encouraged to share the complexities of our neutral position, should the board choose to take that.
Yeah, I want to be sure that, Carl, for your benefit, LC 1934 is not a bill yet, but is more than likely going to be a bill. And so it's great when it's in the packet, you read through it, look at it, and have a chance to digest it. But I know that before we will probably want to take a position at it at some time, but we need to have a chance. And I agree with Edward's approach is, yeah, right now we're not prepared to take a position when we're in kind of a neutral. But he did go through on all of the bills that were in our work packet and explained the positions. And I don't think that anybody had any exceptions to those. Maybe somebody did. But on the different bills that he went through, was it five, six?
Seven, I believe.
Seven bills, yeah, that currently had an impact on us, starting with on page of the work session, it was page 12, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. And, yeah, but he explained those rather thoroughly for us, and we pretty much understood all those, at least that was my sense.
Very briefly, Carl, just to provide kind of a 30,000-foot level, the kind of major categories of bills that were brought were ones impacting the district's administrative ability to conduct its job, whether that's on enforcement of public safety, public records retention, or access to the system. Generally, what the recommendation from staff was to allow the district to engage on legislation in a way that allows us to continue doing business in the most effective way that we do, consistent with current policy. There were a couple of other funding pieces that we encouraged support that was consistent with prior stands that the district has taken as well.
Thank you, Edward. Thank you.
And now, will this, on the proposition of this resolution, will we elucidate on how we feel about the board structure?
So what would be helpful is if the board could take a position of either support, oppose, or neutrality with some shade of gray in there about concerns that we've heard from the community.
In defining our concerns?
Yeah.
So the resolution wouldn't necessarily need to state those concerns, but I have thus far shared concerns we've heard from the community. I have yet to hear what the board's take on those concerns are, though. So at this point, I don't have a lot of guidance from the board to those concerns.
Yes, Gary.
I guess this is a procedural question. Would this be an appropriate time to point out criteria that have been proposed that we should oppose? What I'm considering is, I think it's within our best judgment to oppose an 11-member board.
Okay.
Mm. Okay.
That is feedback that is
used. There's a number of categories. One of them is having a board go from 7 to 11. And then there was four categories of open positions. They would not be by district. They'd be open. And go ahead, Edward.
And Carl, this is the legislation that was discussed as well at the strategic planning committee. So if it's starting to ring bells for you, that's why. So the four categories were a person under the age of 30 representing students, labor representative of, in this case, ATU, person with a disability who uses the system, minority or low income representative who uses the system as well.
And Gary's point is that would we want to tell staff at this point that we're opposed to 11 versus 7?
Or even 9. I
understand.
I can see 9 as a criteria.
But right now, the only thing that's in front of us is 11. And
perhaps maybe this is an approach that we could take. Is the board willing to engage, broadly speaking, in a conversation about changes to governance or not? Because I think that that's kind of a getting out of the garage before we get to the end of the driveway question. If there's not interest from the board about changing governance at all, numbers don't matter. If there is willingness to engage that conversation, that helps.
Carl. Well, to answer that question, we discussed this a little bit at the strategic planning committee earlier this weekend. Or was it last week?
Last week.
Last week. I lost track of time. The, my general, let me answer your question first, which is like, while I appreciate the thought exercise even of figuring out maybe a possible better way to govern and to represent the people of Lane County for the transit district, I just don't see any reason to do so at this time because there doesn't seem to be anything critically wrong with our representation right now, and we haven't gotten that feedback. I actually wish the people who had drafted this bill would have consulted with people like us to get some more feedback first. And so the simple answer, no.
Don?
Well, my comment would be very similar to Carl's. It's like, it's like if it's not broke, why fix it? It seems like we're responding to a condition that's in TriMet that they're trying to deal with and maybe doesn't really affect it. And so I would take either an opposed or neutral position just because I don't see any reason to shake it up right now.
Gary?
Well, I guess my tact is a slightly different, and I do. I like the acknowledgement that the people behind this think LTD has done an okay job before. I mean, that's impressive. I would say oppose the 11, but support to remain neutral on the criteria for the selection. In other words, there were some good criteria in those criteria. I'm not as hung up as maybe other people are on preventing a union member of ATU from being on the board, but I think that's another thing for either neutral or opposed to discuss. Does that make sense?
Could I paraphrase you?
Please try.
oppose the 11-member board, but be willing to engage on the criteria.
Criteria, yeah.
I've got to admit that I think whoever's responsible for each of us being where we are, hasn't done too bad a job. We have diversification. We have a lot of different thoughts. Mm-hmm. We're not all of one ilk at all. And I think the LTD board is an outstanding group of people doing a good job. And so I tend to, with Carl and Don, I'm sitting there going, you know, and I understand there's ulterior motives, but I'm sitting here going, wow, oh, I think LTD functions really, really well, and I'd hate to do anything to change that.
Could this legislation be written to allow districts the option so that TriMet could indeed institute these positions?
Could they voluntarily comply with the statute? I suppose there's a manner in which the bill could be written to allow that, yes. It's not written that way now.
But they're not mandatory, but that they are possible for appropriate agencies.
They could do that. That would be, to my knowledge, without precedent in the way that the state does advise, you know, governing bodies.
I'm aware of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Don?
Well, I mean, this is referring to, of course, new members of the board who don't exist yet.
Yeah.
So it's, but looking at the ridership criteria, you know, 40 riders a month, I don't know whether in this system we're going to have a very, very small population of people who are going to fit that definition and still be available to do the job.
Well, it's
for
just,
myself, it's, I feel like yeah. It's extremely difficult for me to participate in this process and rely on public transportation that doesn't serve yeah. me well. It makes it very difficult. I couldn't participate in these processes if I met those criteria. Of course, I don't have to meet the criteria right
That's
now,
right.
but they may change that later.
Yeah, it'd be 5 days a week to and back and forth.
Yeah.
For a month.
So that fits a certain person who yeah. can do that and yeah. still be free
yeah.
to participate in all of that.
Yeah.
But I guess to Gary's point is that we've all kind of expressed ourselves, but are we willing to have conversation beyond this point? And what I heard Gary say is on 11, no. On the other things,
yeah.
I didn't hear any exuberance. I just heard a willingness.
Yeah. And there's going to be a report back, obviously. I mean, you'll keep us informed. You gave us the criteria in advance of when we met to talk about them, so we had that opportunity already. To me, it seems like I'm comfortable enough with the direction that we're giving right now for where we are in the process. But I would think 11 is an untenable board.
So, yeah, and perhaps we could put in there that perhaps we would be willing to engage on the levels, the numbers indicating full ridership or partial ridership. Perhaps there should be some adjustment or...
Well, actually, if you don't talk about 11, then those four positions aren't being discussed. Is that fair?
Yeah, I just want to, just for staff's purpose, get a little clarification. I think I kind of hearing a little contradiction, and what happens is the reason Edward's bringing this is because LTD will definitely be contacted to indicate what our position is should this move forward. This could happen this week, this could happen in a few days, we do not know. So if the board decides to take a neutral position and just indicate some of their opposition to it, then Edward would say, you know, our board is neutral, here are some concerns. If our board opposes it, it says, which I kind of heard a little bit more about what Carl was saying, and Don was, we think it's not broken, so let's not fix it, although we do like some of the language, we think it's not broken, so we oppose it. Then, you know, that's a different stance versus the neutral stance. So Edward would then, and myself, but Edward, of course, representing us, would say our board opposes it, although they like, you know, some of the criteria in there. They feel that, you know, in totality, this bill does not represent what our community is, and that's what they've heard, and that's what they then, LTD then takes a stance that we oppose it, and he can speak with certainty to legislators or anyone he comes across, and that's what he would say, and versus, you know, well, we're neutral on it, and maybe we are neutral with just some concern, so should that language be modified, then we potentially do support it, you know? So I think he wants some direction, I mean, and myself as well, but definitely that, how can he speak of it being that we are one of two agencies affected, and we will be asked for, staff will be contacted to state something. Am I correct? Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Okay.
Carl.
Thanks for that clarification, AJ. So I guess here's my opinion on this, on the subject, which is I would advocate that we oppose this legislative, or it's not a bill yet, but that if it were to become a bill. While there are components that I understand where it's, I appreciate its intent, I would hope, the thing I would want to relay is that I would hope that the governor's office would use some of that criteria, but I would hate for them to be handcuffed or to be, constrained from being able to select someone just because they didn't meet some of the, I actually consider some of the criteria to be kind of onerous. So that is my intent. I actually, not to take it away from what AJ was saying, or go a point further, I actually don't think there are a lot of good things about what they're trying to say in the proposed measure. But I do understand its intent, and I think there are some good things with its intent. So in conclusion, I oppose. So make a motion. Oh, well, maybe should hear. I'll make a motion, but I'll wait for hear what everyone else says first.
Don, did you have? Are you going to make a comment?
No, I don't think.
Okay. Gary?
Yeah. Having spent some time lobbying in the legislature and being around it, this hasn't gotten to the sausage phase yet. And I think there are certain things that can be leveled out of it. You can confirm that you're a user of mass transit. You don't have to say you're going to ride 20 times a month. You can be under a certain age, but not have your term expire mid-age. I mean, there are things here that can be trimmed and manipulated. And as I said before, I think the one criteria that bugs me is the 11, is going to 11. I think that's for a volunteer agency that we are, the board is a volunteer group, going to 11, the additional meetings, the committees, the assignments, the staff work that goes with it, to me is too much. But outside of opposing the 11, the rest of it, I think, is processable, I guess is the way to put it.
Don.
Well, we did have that one criteria about minority and low-income communities, which I feel is undefinable in our position.
Well, you do have title. You have title six, right?
Absolutely. But you have to define what a community is.
Yeah.
Who is in that?
Well, since the board is basically right now set up geographically, the two, you know, the creation of at-large positions would, I agree, I don't think that we could possibly support any version of the legislation if it involves creating a board of 11 members. I, you know, I I think we would have to oppose with the thought that the governor, that these criteria are worth thinking about, that the governor, you know, that they be taken into consideration when appointing geographically based, you know, sub-district qualified people. Did I say that? Everyone satisfied?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I'm looking for a motion.
Yeah, I'd like to make the following resolution number 2017-02-15-006 be resolved that the Lane Transit District Board of Directors amend the proposed legislative agenda to oppose on LC 1934 and approve the legislative agenda as amended.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. That
does the maker of the motion, does that mean we're opposing the entire thing?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not the entire agenda, not all the.
No, but they can represent it.
And I think the nuance, I assume the nuance of our comments and the strategic planning committee's comments would be passed on.
That's correct.
Yeah, but this is just to solidify our sentiment on this particular.
You're throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
I am.
You am
objecting to a proposed piece of legislation.
Exactly. Yeah.
I would say that I think staff have a fairly strong understanding of the various sentiments that the board has, yep, though, and that an oppose is not a, it needs to be banished from the face of the earth level of opposition, but rather a grave concern about what it may do, an appreciation for some of the finer points, and an opportunity for further cooperation with stakeholders to talk about that issue.
Yeah, well said.
Well said.
Okay. All right. Call for the question. Okay. All those in favor, signify by raising your right hand of the motion. Those opposed?
Just to reinforce the discussion that we had.
Very good. No, fine. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. The second piece hopefully will go a little more quickly. Actually, it's a very good transition. So part of the nature of the legislature is it's dynamic and moves very quickly, particularly as we get close to deadline periods in March and again in May. At that point, legislation gets introduced, amended, completely deleted, and reinserted with something entirely different than what the bill had said hours before when you had read it previously. What staff is looking for is some kind of guidance from the board on how the district may take a position that responds to the fast-paced nature of the legislature when we know that our board meetings don't necessarily. So we were able to compile all of the bills that were introduced at the beginning of session and bring them to you, the most relevant ones to you now, to give you a good sense of the majority of what we'll be talking about during session, but we know that issues will arise. Staff has proposed, and this is a decision for the board to make and not a decision for staff to make, that the board authorize the general manager or her designee to make those determinations on behalf of the district, which of course would come in close consultation, I'm sure, with the board president and other board members. However, we need board guidance on if that is an appropriate method of moving forward or if there is another way they would like that done. Alternatively, we could only take action when the board meets, but understand that that significantly dilutes our ability to effectively weigh in on matters.
Comments, questions?
Well, I think it makes sense to authorize both of you to, specifically AJ and Edward, to represent the board on these matters.
Would you be your likely designee?
Yes.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to speculate, but.
Mr. Silvertone?
Regular contact.
Yeah.
It's with the legislative session, having been involved in a few, that last two or three weeks, that last month is a zoo. And it moves really fast, but I can't imagine anything that was really profoundly important to LTD that there wouldn't be some opportunity for communication to get a sense and a feel.
Yeah.
Because some of the stuff will be so obvious that it's, you know, you already know. But if anything comes up, I can't imagine staff not being sensitive enough to say, to double check and make a few phone calls to get a feel. So I feel fairly comfortable. I think it's a prudent way to go, because they're going to have to move, and they aren't going to have maybe an hour to do that. You know, it's really, it gets pretty hectic. So, yeah. Gary.
Edward, I just had a question, and this doesn't affect anything from the prior motion, but what essentially, though it's a legislative agenda, so the whole legislature is going to vote on these. But if it's just a TriMet and LTD thing, is that what, a third to a half of the entire legislature that would be affected?
Probably.
So what we say will have, basically Eastern Oregon is going to vote their own conscience, essentially, right?
Sure.
I mean,
presumably.
Yeah. So the union thing has no chance of passing then.
Who knows?
Yeah.
That's right.
I would say the union thing is DOA. But that was just, I just wanted to clarify that, that everybody in the legislature will vote on it.
One thing I would just note is that this only applies to the 2017 legislative session. So we'll have to come back in 2018 and go through this process again.
Totally. That's part of the resolution.
Or her designee's feet to the fire. Yeah.
This is not forever.
Unfortunately, no.
I'd like to go ahead and make the following resolution.
Thank you.
Number 2017-02-15-007. Be it resolved that the Lane Transit District Board of Directors authorizes the general manager or her designee to represent the district's position on legislation during the 2017 legislative session. Be it further resolved that the general manager or her designee shall report regularly to the Board of Directors on positions taken under this authority.
Second.
Do I have a second? Yeah. I have a second. Thank you. Any further comments or discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, same sign. Passes unanimously. Thank you. Get well.
Yeah.
He was docile tonight.
That's docile.
He was much more shortened.
Okay, so we're on committee assignments. I know somebody's got involved in that. Let's get to that. I've talked to all the people involved on the committee assignments, and so in your packet, the changes are in the Human Relations Committee. Kate Reed will be on that committee.
Oh, actually, Carl, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe.
Oh.
Human Resources, you said.
And we
that.
Did do a motion for you guys, if you guys wanted that.
Yeah.
Carl and Kate Reed to MPC.
Okay. Yeah. Kate Reed is the alternate on MPC. But yeah, it's Carl.
I think it's wrong on page.
Yep. On page 23.
The proposed motion is right.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Well, I'm just going through the
whole thing.
Yeah. Here. And then Kate Reed is going to be on the McVeigh Governance Committee with Don.
Okay.
She'll be replacing Angela there, and Angela's aware of that. And the mayor's aware of that. And it's okay with everybody. So I think those are the changes.
The official title of the committee, Human Relations and Resources.
Human Relations.
Is it Human Relations? It's HR.
I think it's Human Relations, isn't it?
It's okay. So
it's Human Resources.
This is a topic that
I actually thought there was at some point some discussion about changing back to Human Resources.
Human Resources.
I don't know the department within the agency that's changed, but we didn't change the board.
So we have jurisdiction over nothing.
Was that an answer?
Well, is it going to be HR? Is it going to be human relations?
We're going to have to reevaluate you, AJ.
Human resources. Well, let's just do the resolution the way okay. The resolution is written.
Since I'm causing all the trouble,
you are causing all the trouble.
I move the following resolution.
It's 08.
That I'm causing the trouble, or oh, okay.
Pretty much.
It's a handout now. God, I'm impressed.
That's the number.
I've got that marked. We'll catch it.
Resolution number is different.
Okay.
At 08.
So I propose. I move the following resolution. Resolution number 2017-02-15-008. Be it resolved that the Lane Transit District Board of Directors approves the appointment of Carl Yeh to the Human Resources Committee and Kate Reed to the Metropolitan Policy Committee.
And also Kate Reed to the Maine-McVeigh.
Maine-McVeigh.
Yes. Thank you. Is there a second?
No one for the Service Committee yet.
Is there a second?
Can I second the thing that I'm in?
Sure, you can say.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was already seconded.
No, it wasn't seconded.
Okay.
And again, I'll let Ed second it.
Okay. It's moved and seconded. Okay. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Nay. Passes unanimously. Thank you.
Ed did bring up a point. We do have a vacancy on the service committee.
Yep.
Well, I don't know, we just voted for this. I should have had a discussion earlier, but Main Street McVeigh is really not doing anything for another 18 months or something, right?
No, another 3 weeks. Another 3 weeks.
Well, there's something there. There'll be a meeting, but I don't think they're determined to go ahead with anything.
Well, April 3rd or the 10th, so maybe after that we'll have a better sense, yeah. But you make a good point. No, that's a very good point. Okay. All right, Tom.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay.
Did we vote?
Board member reports. Anybody?
I don't think so.
Go to any meetings?
Point of order. I don't think we voted on the committee assignments, did we?
We did.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
We did.
We did.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes. Maybe I did.
You made the motion.
Is that called sleep voting?
Was that another one of those memos I missed?
That you didn't get? Yeah. Anything on the board member reports?
I've got a lot.
Everything was written here pretty good. You have something?
Just to add to my report on
yes,
the Vision Zero. I'm very impressed with the level of participation of the Vision Zero committee that the city's holding. We had our third meeting, I believe, last week. And the bulk of our meeting was actually going over a lot of data, looking at maps and looking at which streets seem to have the most bicycle or pedestrian or car incidents, and that was very informative. There's certainly lots of ways you can look at the data, but the committee's trying now to figure out ways to get that information to the public in a way that they can that's easily understandable, and also so that they can so that the public can do something with that information. But I just wanted to add a little bit more report to that committee.
Don.
Excuse me. And we had a report on the Lane Act in our packet here, but also I just wanted to kind of emphasize part of the discussion or the presentation at the Lane Act was the Cascadia subduction event and how the assembled folks are going to deal with this thing when and if it happens in our lifetime. But the thing that was pointed out in the presentation that the number one important thing to get back into line was transportation. So that, you know, you'd expect some of the other things to be more important, but after reviewing all the information, felt like transportation was getting back online was one of the first things. And I'm wondering if you know, these discussions go on with staff, but what's going on with our preparations with Lane Transit District and getting transportation back online in the event of a major earthquake. So I guess I would just take it to staff on that, but that just one of the presentations and my
That was an interesting presentation. I was at one where they, you know, the main airport in Oregon will be Redmond.
Yeah, but just getting through
and it was,
the streets
it was,
in Eugene, they say, okay, this bridge is going to fall down here. We're going to.
It was quite an eye opener, and the main north south road will be 97.
Yeah.
And wow, that was kind of a shock to see, but the potential, you know, and a lot of people worked hard on that. But that was a tremendous report. Thank you, Don. Anything else on the reports?
If I could just make an observation. Right now, it's under no meetings held. It's got the LTD Board Service Committee. That meeting was last Monday.
Yes.
You did have it this last Monday.
And we're...
13th.
It looks like the proposal is a 6% increase in services.
See, okay.
And the other thing that's exciting, relating back to the frequent transit network map that we had up there, the West 11th MX is going to open up some opportunities for connector transfers, which is real interesting, because I know one of the things we've had a long discussions of on the strategic planning committee has been that concept of being able to connect cross town off of a West Eugene MX. And so it was a very interesting discussion, and staff presented a very good report.
Great, thank you. Yeah, that's right. That was on Monday. So
there were a lot of options and possibilities brought forward about how to avoid the hub and spoke system, you know, how to go from Junction City to West to Target without going to the station first, you know.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I was wondering about it is on the service. The last couple of years, we've made some significant changes and additions in service and whatnot. And I just wondered if there was a chance to evaluate those in terms of how successful were they, how cost-effective, that type of thing, you know, those additions. That would be something that I think the service committee
that
might want to take a look
something
at.
That was...
No, I know we're going through the process now of having the public hearing on the proposed changes and taking feedback from ridership on those.
Yeah.
But
I was just thinking about evaluating our past decisions. Did we do good or not so good? Anyway, whatever. Okay. Anything else? All right. Then let's move on to monthly financials. Yes. Yes, Christina.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good, thank you. Good evening. Based on the board feedback, we have made some just minor changes to change the way the look is. We've color-coded the favorable numbers in green and with a plus sign, and unfavorable in red with a minus sign. And this report here is for the P5 year-to-date, which is through the end of November, which is the fifth month of our 2017 fiscal year. And that means our actuals are being measured through November, as well as compared to a budget that is also through the November. So the budget, of course, is divided evenly over the course of the year. And for November, we've completed 5 of the 12 months, which is 42%. So again, from the revenue side, if it's more than 42%, that's positive or favorable. And if it's for expenditures, that if it's greater than 42%, that would be unfavorable or negative. And then the points and the dollars tell you the magnitude of the favorability or the unfavorability. With regards to the general fund, the revenues are 2.1 favorable to budget, and that's because of the payroll taxes and advertising that was partially offset by lower self-employment taxes and 5307 grant timing. And all of the items that you see here in terms of favorability are favorable due to timing, so you won't see that in terms of year-end higher expected year-end revenues. The payroll taxes are 5.4% higher than they were in 2016, but the budget was also planned to be 5.4% higher than 2016. Self-employment taxes are comparable to what they were year-to-date in 2016, and general fund expenditures are $700,000 favorable to the P5 year-to-date budget, and the favorability is also timing related. So we won't we also won't see a positive impact to the bottom line for the expenditures either. You'll recall last time we had a much higher favorability, but we've now caught up because of the diesel in October was caught up in November. Mm-hmm. And then you'll also notice from last time that we had a large unfavorability in the general fund, and that is now it's corrected because of the payroll tax timing that we talked about last time. Medicaid expenditures exceed the revenues by $2.1 million, and that's because we continue to see the impacts of the Trillium claims backlog and that timing. And as I mentioned in the October board meeting, the claims backlog started to be processed in December, but they were not all cleared until sometime in January. So you'll see continue to see the disconnect, but not starting in the December report, you'll start to see some improvement. And then again in January, you'll see more improvement.
But I guess mm-hmm. the thing is, we're in February, and mm-hmm. you must have a feel for did they meet their goal?
So I'm
getting
seeing
their backlog taken care of.
Yes. So okay. My understanding is that the backlog has been taken care of. So as of the February report or when the January is completed,
yeah.
you will start to see a regular backlog, which is about 6 weeks. Yeah. So it'd be around. $800,000 unfavorable on a regular basis.
Yeah, but that's a lot different than what you're showing here.
Well, right, because yeah. they didn't start process. So there was the backlog, and I know I keep talking about that backlog, but they didn't start clearing the backlog till December, and this is a November report.
Yeah.
So that's
the reason. But the thing mm-hmm. for me, I feel better knowing that you know mm-hmm. that they've done what they said they're going to do.
Yes.
That's important.
Yes. And so I would expect that you'll see an improvement in December report. And yep. then you should see more improvement in the January
Great.
Report.
Thank you.
Then on the Accessible Services Fund, that one is also, that's budgeted to operate at a loss. Mm-hmm. And it's covered by the general fund. And with this one, we're on target for our budgeted loss. So you can see the expenditures are exceeding the revenues by the planned $1.1 million. So they're the same. You can see the column for P5 year-to-date budget and the actual, they're both $1.1 million unfavorable. But that's exactly what we planned. Capital Projects Fund revenues are $6.9 million unfavorable. And that's still due to grants in the application or drawdown process. And then the expenditures are favorable, still due to payment timing. There's no change in the projects that are contributing to the favorability. They're the same ones, the 40-foot low-foot buses, the River Road Station, the bus parking lot, and the Willow Creek Station.
Okay. Questions? Okay. Yeah, it's difficult on this funding. Because you, especially like on your drawdowns, on your grants and whatnot, it takes a long time, and it's just when you see those big figures, I hope they get it done. So yeah,
I do want to say about that is, as Christina's here longer and she trains through the staff, one of the things that we will be looking at is the timing of our drawdowns to ensure that when we do have large expenditures, we have a timing to be able to collect all the information. One of the delays is the fact that when we contractually, when we get invoiced by a vendor, of course, they perform the work, we pay it out. But then we have the step to make sure we get that money back reimbursed. We have to do our due diligence and have different staff members do a checks and balance and then have Roland review it and then have me review it. And what we are certifying is that we adhere to everything. And although we know we did, until we have physically gone through those multiple steps, we don't feel confident that we can actually draw down directly from a federal source to do that. So that's where we're talking about. How do we streamline that process so it doesn't take so long? Because I think traditionally it's always taken us. So as we improve our processes, you'll see that time. It's a timing difference, but it's a cash flow issue. So we want to make sure that we change that. And it's reflected in the reports. And we're happy you're able to see it and challenge us to do better.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a tough deal. Yeah, the rules, you get to follow the rules.
Then we'll get better.
Yes, we'll get better.
Any other questions on like the check history or the grant report either while I'm here?
The grant report, anything on that? I continue to look at that and it's very, very good. I really appreciate it. Okay, any of the on the disbursements, did anybody look at those?
Tell me something.
Department of Human Resources. DHS?
Which number is this one?
Isn't it DHS? I was wondering about.
Is that like on page 3 or something?
Page 3?
I'm not sure if I got that page.
Yeah, there. I'm just going, what's that about, you know?
Is there a check number?
I think it's 94690. Is that
correct? DHS receiving and trust?
Yeah.
So that's the funky match, our intergovernmental agreement with the. So that's what.
Sounds like a
basically
disco song.
We pay them and then they pay us back. It's the way we do our. Accessible services, one of the models is where we calculate what it is and we pay them the total and then we pay them a portion and then they match it and pay it back to us. And it's called a funky match. And that's what.
Okay.
I know I'm not describing this very well, but that I know I looked at that one. And
it's actually a grant in which the state reimburses. But we first have to make them whole. So we send them the full amount of our share. They then calculate out back and send us back a greater amount. Try to figure out what other thing that we would have that you must pay them. I don't know if it's their way of proving that we are able to match the way the federal government does. It's more on a trust system. So, you know, we maintain our records, as I said, because of the timing. And it's most of them are 80-20. We keep the 20. We never give it to them. They give us the 80. We use our 20 and we pay out. We never have to prove to the federal government that we have our 20.
Okay?
And when we draw down, we can only draw down the 80. So no money ever gets back to the federal government. It's... For some reason, they call it this, but what it is this one, it's almost we have to prove that we have that portion. We send that to them, and then they send us the entire amount back. So it's one of the few grants that we do have to prove that we have our share. So staff had kind of titled it that way. So that's what they're paying.
This must be fun for you, coming from the private sector into the public sector, because I got to admit... I'm learning a lot.
No, I am learning a lot. It's very interesting. And I did look at that one, but I we do this all the time, so I was familiar with us sending it to them. Then they do, like AJ described, they calculate it and then send it back to us in terms of match.
Did we give the governor of California nearly $226,000?
Where are you
You're
at?
Talking about the Jerry Brown.
Jerry Brown.
Oh, what page is this?
Page one.
That's fuel.
Fuel. Okay. This is Jerry Brown.
If he's giving his fuel, then the answer is yes.
He's giving us.
I hadn't seen that one before.
Anyway,
do we only do that like quarterly or something? Or
no, they buy diesel from Jerry Brown Distributing.
Okay. Okay.
Started, and that's not just fuel, but it's some of the lubricants and oil
too. Okay. Thank you. I was going to say, hey, it's good to be Jerry Brown.
Any others?
Okay. Anything else? Anything on the dispersal or the executed contracts? Any questions on that? All of my questions got answered.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Christina. Yeah. No, that's really interesting information, the disbursements and the contracts, both. Mm-hmm. Very, very useful. Okay, report to the board on emergency procurement. Cleaner, are you going to come talk to us? You don't come and see us too often. So this is a great opportunity.
If I have to come see you, then it might not be so great.
All right. Would you care to turn the mic on?
Yes,
thank you.
Okay, pardon me. This emergency procurement, we were actually notified by the Springfield Utility Board that we had a leak out in our lot, and they suspected that the leak was in one spot. And it's just the process. It was an emergency procurement, so which was dictated by what the situation was, but also not having a clear scope, because they ended up having to actually locate it and ultimately having to uncover the entire line to find where the leak was. And so because it was important to get a crew out and working immediately, we just didn't follow our normal process. But our policy does allow for emergency procurements, and we have a process, and this is just the documentation of that. On the back end, because we didn't, I guess you would call it a check and balance, because we didn't follow our usual process. So it's just kind of being accountable to our general manager and as well as to you to let you know what happened.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with water leaks. And they can build fast. You can spend a lot of money really quick. Yes. And I appreciate the fact that Springfield Utility Board brought it to our attention, because so often, you know, you have so many things going through, all of a sudden, you know, that water bill is an extra $2,000 or $3,000. That doesn't necessarily set the light off. And
That's true.
But the idea that you can't pinpoint it is, yeah, been there and done that. So very good. Well, that's great. Thank you very much. Any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate that. It just makes your life interesting. Okay, anything on the monthly reports?
I can have Tom wanted to point something out on the monthly reports.
Yeah.
I didn't sort of want to,
but there you go.
So, Edward actually, in his review, caught the fact that if you look at the passenger boardings, the sort of fixed route service heading there shows for the month a plus 0.4% increase.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't seem to jive with him, and when he showed me, I didn't think it jived either with the declines in weekday and Saturday service. That didn't make sense if there was an increase. So we went back and looked at the numbers, and again, it looks like the part of the issue there is just the having the right number of days in each day type. So there's actually, this is November, so there's actually one less weekday because of Thursday, no service, and then there's one additional Saturday because that's actually the level subject right on the Friday after Thanksgiving. So when you get the right numbers in, there's actually a ends up being a 3.8% increase because basically the weekday and Saturday service are about the same as they were the month a year prior, and the Sunday service, because of the increase in AMX Sunday service, the ridership was up 15%.
Yeah.
So overall it's up that.
Right.
So we're going to get that straight now. I think there's some issues with just regularly having the right number of days to use the
You know, this speaks to what I was talking about a little bit ago about the service, on service. If you take a look at down here on the number of fleet miles that we traveled, we're up 17,000 miles, you know, and in our ridership per mile is dipping. And I start thinking about what's causing these additional miles, and are we getting less ridership per mile on some of those? And that's where that, did we make a good decision a year ago or 2 years ago? That type of thing, and review that. Because it's for the last 3 years, you'll notice it's trending that we're putting more miles and more miles, which means we're covering more ground.
Well, and also I just point out that some of that is related to when we're operating additional spam service, so more Sunday service, the ridership's going to be, the productivity's going to be lower. It's a Sunday service.
Mm-hmm.
We're operating all the miles. So that's
good
the
point.
Kind of trade-off. So sometimes an increase in service doesn't necessarily equate to an increase in ridership, but you're providing that spam service that facilitates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's something that we need to be thinking about that, but I was noticing the Sunday ridership was up 15%. You know, so people are becoming accustomed to the Sunday ridership, and they're taking advantage of the opportunity.
Right.
Yeah,
That's a good thing.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, thank you. Okay.
Have a question. Don's got a question.
Hey, Gary.
Don, go ahead.
Well, I just noticed that the fuel cost was way up in terms of percentage gains. Is that expected? Is that just because we've been...
Your purchasing lady will tell you that we're now buying from...
Jerry Brown.
And coming all the way from California is a lot more expensive. But in reality, the fact that we were using fuels out of the tank that we already paid for at a lower cost, and a year ago they were put in at those costs rather than the costs that you're seeing today are what everybody's buying it for at Jerry Brown's. Is that fair?
Yes, so we do get an opportunity to take advantage of some pricing because we did cooperate with Eugene eWeb and a few other local municipalities kind of all pooled together on a contract, so it's a co-op agreement. And so we do get some, a slight reduction at this point, but it is still based on the oil price index for that day that we order, you know, so it's going to fluctuate somewhat.
Yeah. Does that help, Don?
Well, I guess we'll see next month whether it's still still much of a change.
The thing that, because I saw that too, it's the difference because you've got last year, mm-hmm. last November versus the November a year earlier.
And it was just always a question. Well,
yeah,
did that stirring?
Hey, that's why this
that
is
actually turn out to.
This is wonderful stuff to have because it does generate some thoughts and ideas. So absolutely,
it's great information. Monthly department reports. Anything on that? Any questions, anybody? There was a number of reports in there. Okay, moving on. Oh, items that are coming up in the future. Any questions on any of those? Looks like we won't have any problem filling up meetings. Okay. Executive session. Do we have a need for an executive session?
Yes.
We do?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Then we will move into executive session.
Could we take about a 3-minute break?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, we'll take a 3-minute break. All right.
First one is going to be canceled. I don't think he has anything on that one. So let me tell Dwight.